Blog Talk Radio.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
It's all about population control, man. See, they know what you don't know. But it's all you.
It's a secret, it's a secret, it's a secret. I teach you how to fight all of them demons.
I can teach you.
It's a secret, it's a secret, it's a secret.
Yeah.
I teach you how to tap into your genius. It's a secret, it's a secret, it's a secret. This is a blessing, yo, it's far beyond them reading.
It's a blessing.
It's a secret, it's a secret, it's a secret.
Yeah.
They built the country as a corporation, so they eating. Blind you with the garden of eating.
They blinding you.
Poison everything that you eating. Mine don't show them glutamate up in your seasoning.
Damn.
They breathing, but they ain't living for a reason. Just tap into yourself and find a secret.
Find a secret.
Write your plans down, you just gotta mean it. Before the Masons, it was carved in the ceilings.
Yeah.
Before the Rothschilds created all them billions.
Uh-huh.
I'm just giving little secrets to my children.
Take that.
We was the Nagas before the niggas. And the British museums, they got all the pictures.
You can see
Vatican cities got the jewels and the riches.
They stole it.
Some became stitches to get positions.
Trying to come up.
It was the plantation before the prison. The secret is to create your own vision. Man, I'm God in the flesh. Man, I'm out your jurisdiction.
Yeah.
It's a secret, it's a secret, it's a secret. I teach you how to fight all of them demons. It's a secret, it's a secret, it's a secret. I teach you how to tap into your genius. It's a secret, it's a secret, it's a secret. This is a blessing, yo, it's far beyond them reading. It's a secret, it's a secret, it's a secret. They built the country as a corporation, so they eat. They got costumes on and they ain't trick-or-treating. This real shit, and I don't need a feature. Just sit back and learn from the teacher. Fight your vampires, yo, we call them leeches.
Come to suck your
watch
blood
out. They come to prey upon your weakness. Vibrate, so the hate wanna fend you. Hydrate off the lakes that'll heal you. And stay away from them niggas trying to kill you. Predators got a nigga head on the menu.
Just
co-design, had them blind so they can get you. We children of the stars, that's why we shine like a crystal. DNA from the gods, this melanin's official. Palo Santo burning around like a ritual. Walking organite, got the light, metaphysical. I clean my aura up, holy water on my spiritual. My third eye realize me and God is identical. That's the secret.
It's a secret, it's a secret, it's a secret.
I teach you how to fight all of them demons. It's a secret, it's a secret, it's a secret. I teach you how to tap into your genius. It's a secret, it's a secret, it's a secret. This is a blessing, yo, it's far beyond them reading. It's a secret, it's a secret, it's a secret. They built the country as a corporation, so they eat it.
Brother, sister, celestial angels, brother wisdom. A little later, I'm going to come to you guys with this video on. We're going to start on the. We're going to be on the minerals, but we're going to start without the. We're going to start on the sulfur salts, and then from the sulfur salts, we're going to move to the nitrates and. Let's see, the nitrates and the phosphates. Oh no, I'll deal with the night with the next the video. But the first video that's going to go on is going to be about the sulfur salts. And that's going to be dealing with the minerals. When we do that first part of the sulfur salts with minerals, you will really begin to get an understanding of the minerals that's within us. But in the meantime, I just want to talk about karma. You know, karma is something that happens. The laws of karma is something that happens because something else happened. All right? You know, it's the cause and effect. Because this happened, the effect is this or that. Okay? This is the basic laws of karma, and we're watching this happen among these earth beings. You know, you gotta just keep in mind that, you know, these beings have literally did damage to our planet. All right? Karma has no time. All right, there's no time on karma. How this is going to happen, how this is going to happen. Karma happens when someone awakens. All right? That's when karma happens. So because we have made that awakening, that massive awakening all over the planet, we've made that massive awakening. Karma is taking place right now. We're watching it. We're watching it in real time. You know, look at these orc beings. Look at all the mankind and the humans. Look what they did. You know, wiped out whole generations. You know, look over there in Indonesia. Look over there in Papua New Guinea. What they're doing to our people. Killing and beating our people and, you know, displacing our people, doing all these things to our people, you know. And they actually think that karma's not going to hit them. You know, look at look at the queen of England, Elizabeth, that fucking lizard ass bitch. Fuck her. Look what the fuck she's doing. She's got all of our jewels. She plays a definite role in the destruction of our people. All right. Look at this. Look at what they're doing. Look how they wiped out whole generations of our people, and then they have it documented and says that we realized as we begin to kill the Negroids, they call us Negroids. As we begin to kill the Negroids, we realized that the planet was cooling off. So therefore, they continued on because they couldn't take the heat from our planet when they first got here. You know. Look at when they first got here and they had the zoos and had our people walking around in zoos because their people had never seen us before. Their people had never seen any of us before, and they caused us to fall from our power, and they had zoos. They had us in cages and had us walking around in chains. They were having sex with us and molesting us and just, I mean, cutting us up and all kind of things. I mean, they were just doing everything to us that was against nature. And they thought that they will continue to do that. Look how they're killing our people and taking our body parts and all this stuff. You know, karma is getting ready to take place, my people. Karma is getting ready to take place. That's why I tell our people all the time, I say, you need to get some seeds. You need to get yourself, you know, buy some seeds, get yourself some canned goods, water, some beans and dried beans and rice and all kind of other food. You know, because karma is getting ready to take place. Karma is getting ready to take place. Locking our people up in jail. You know, the brother get a life sentence for stealing a pack of bubble gum. And these beings laugh about it. You know, brothers and sisters being locked up. They got the sisters in prison wanting to euthanize them so that they won't have children anymore. You know, or sterilize them, not euthanize, but sterilize them. But that's the euthanization of their reproductive organs. So we can say euthanize. You know, look at what they're doing to our people. Now we got a vision of our people, how they hung us and slaughtered us and enslaved us and did whatever they wanted to do, used us to make money. Karma is coming, my people, because we have awakened. Now look at how they cut down the trees and killing the animals for sport. Huh? Just to cut the head of the animal off and put it on a wall. cutting down the trees because they said, oh yeah, we need to implement a 5G program and the trees is in the way. And they cut down the trees and they dig up the land and take land away from how look how they took away the land from us all over and gave it to some Siberians. Some goddamn Siberian humans. Gave it to the Siberians and called the Siberians Indians and gave them our tribal names. And these Siberians are running around here talking about, oh yeah, we the native and we the original people on the land. Alright? This is what they did, my people. How they dug up the ground and constantly taking the oil. And they say, well, you know, the planet replenishes. No, it's not here for you to take. This oil, our planet have veins. This oil belongs to the planet. It's part of the balance and how they offset the balance. Look at the barren lands. You know, when you go into the downtown areas and to the inner city areas or whatever, that's barren land. I don't care how many buildings there are there, that's barren land because all the trees are gone. All the waters and the rivers and the valleys, that land is barren. It can't produce any fruit because the ground is covered up with concrete and buildings and buildings and buildings. Look at what they're doing, how they stealing the energy from the planet and got us paying them pieces of paper for energy that's free. Karma is coming. How they spraying the sky so that the planet won't be able to, so that we won't be able to enjoy the planet. How they turned our people against each other. When we were once in sync and in tune with each other, now our people are turned against each other. Look at what they've done. And they do this for monetary values so that we can kill each other so that you have one person in the grave and they taking the organs from that one person. You got another person of our people in the jail cell. You make, and you making, they making their monies through the stock market on us whether we're dead or whether we are fucking alive. Karma is coming. And it's coming this year, and karma is already in the beginning stage. We told you guys, 2020 will be a complete and total massacre, and this is what's happening. Karma, karma, karma has no time. Karma waits when it waits for the person to awaken. So if you got somebody who's fast asleep and somebody done broken their house and destroyed everything, when that person wakes up and finds out who did it, that's when karma takes place. Because karma only happens when those who are asleep have awakened. Like we said, karma has no time. Karma has no time at all. So this is what's happening, my people. This is what's happening. Karma is taking place. And these orc beings, this mankind creature and this human creature on our planet, all right, this mankind creature and this human creature on our planet are going to pay. They're going to pay with their dear life. They're going to pay with their blood. All of them. All of them. We've already established that their forefathers started everything, set the precedent. Their forefathers set the precedent, and they carry the blood of their forefathers. I don't care how much they say, oh, we are, you know, I love your black people, and I'm married to one, and I'm dating, I have black friends. You know, we ain't black. That's number one. We ain't black. But you think that you're doing something? You think that you're trying to make up for what your forefathers did? I don't care what you say. You carry their blood, and karma has to take place because the sins of the father fall upon the children. Karma takes place. Karma is taking place, my people. Karma is happening right now. This coronavirus ain't this is not something that's just gonna pass away and disappear. No. It's attacking every bloodline, and it ain't finished. There are three more, even more deadly viruses that's on the way. And these viruses are going to be attacking the bloodlines of the forefathers, and all of their forefathers did dirt to us. I don't care when they stopped. They said, well, you know, my great-great-great-granddaddy did this, and my great-great-granddaddy did this, and my great-granddaddy did this, but my granddaddy, he made a change. Okay. All right. Your granddaddy made a change. But guess what? He still carried that blood. You got guilty blood. And karma, the laws of karma, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, says for every soul loss, we're taking three of yours. That's what karma says. Because one of us is equal to three of them. That's how powerful we are. One of us is equal to three of them. So for every one of us, it's three of them. China, Japan, Korea, all down in Brazil, in South America, Mexico, Russia, all those areas with their forefathers, Canada, all those areas, every place on this planet where their forefathers came in and decimated the land and killed the people so they could take the land. All of them were going to pay. Karma must take place. Karma must take place. It's going to be a beautiful day. At the same time, it's going to be a day of weeping and crying and blood spilling all over the land. Because karma must take place. Karma must take place. All power to the multi-chakra celestial energy beings. Just thinking about it. The water. Look at all the fish that they have pulled out the water for profit. Look at all the animals that they have killed and slaughtered for profit. Got their bodies in grocery stores and freezers. Look at what they've done to the planet, to the people, to the animals, to the land, to the sky, to the seas. Look at what they've done. Karma is going to take place, and it's beginning now. 2021, we see no businesses. Karma is taking place now. This is just the beginning. We ain't even got part of the way through this wonderful, beautiful. Massacre of a year. Karma must take place, my people. Because they've done too much dirt. And there's nothing where for them to go. There's nothing that they can do. There's nothing, nowhere they can hide. Because karma is going to take place. And they will all pay. They will all pay. All power to the multi-chakra celestial angel beings. Peace to you all.
Can we have 2 a.m. conversations under the starlights? Leaving all negativity at home and know that everything gonna be alright. As long as we have each other in our life, can we not label anything as ridiculous? And just let our thoughts be endless? Can we manifest this moment in infinite?
Right.
of abundance in my life. I appreciate the riches of my life that are always available to me. I believe in the eternal, boundless abundance of the universe. I choose to see a world of abundance and unlimited potential. I create unlimited abundance in my life. I deserve to receive great abundance in my life. I give thanks for the abundance in my life at this moment. I inspire abundant thinking in others. I know that the universe is infinitely abundant. I live in a rich and abundant universe. I know that there's more than enough to go around. I mentally, emotionally welcome abundance into my life. I naturally attract divine abundance into my life. I now have prosperity and abundance in all areas of my life. I now have surplus in all areas of my life. I readily accept the abundance that is my birthright. I receive more abundance each day. I receive more abundance each day, more than I can ever imagine. I see my life as it is meant to be, abundant and prosperous. I see my life as it is meant to be, abundant and vital. I welcome abundance into all areas of my life. Whatever abundance is appropriate for me. The unlimited abundance of the universe flows into my life every day. There is a constant stream of abundance in my life. There is great abundance in all areas of my life. There is growing abundance in every area of my life. Abundance in all areas of my life. Today I bless my being with limitless abundance. Today I reclaim the abundance that is my universal birthright. Today I see and feel great abundance life has to offer. With every breath I take, I bring more and more abundance into my life.
Bring more and more abundance into my life.
But never come to the full realization of the soul inside. Being blinded by misconceptions like complexion, with the perception that we have third open eyes. I've traveled through many galaxies with the spiritual knowledge, just to let you know that you are not these physical bodies.
Being blinded by misconceptions like complexion, with the perception that we have third open eyes. I've traveled through many galaxies with the spiritual knowledge, just to let you know that you are not these physical bodies. I've traveled through many galaxies with the spiritual knowledge, just to let you know that you are not these physical bodies.
That life may seem a bit strange at times, but through all of the pain and confusion, you have to remain divine. Do all that you can do to heal and change inside. know and understand that even flowers have to endure the rain at times. Beautiful sunflowers, sunflowers, so you haven't been yourself since some time ago. Beautiful sunflowers, sunflowers, so you have to learn to let go and forgive in order for the sunshine to show. I want you to know that things get better with time, but in the meantime, you have to stop seeing yourself through irrelevant eyes. May you shine like the light that has brought you forth from the heavenly skies, and find more of yourself in the rest of these lines. I know people change, I know flowers grow, I know we need the rain, sunflower souls. I know people change, I know flowers grow, I know we need the rain, sunflower souls. I know people change, yeah. I know flowers grow, I know flowers grow, I know people change, yeah. Sometimes we need the rain, sunflower souls. There is a time to love and there's a time to heal. Find a way to free your mind and let time reveal. In the midst of all of this love that you're trying to give, you have to learn to love yourself for real and find the time to live. Beautiful sunflower, sunflower soul. You haven't been yourself since some time ago. Beautiful sunflower, sunflower soul. You have to learn to let go and forgive in order for the sunshine to show. I know people change. I know flowers. Yeah. Sometimes my day's insane. I'm talking major pain. Hope not, I pray in vain. I'm trying to make a change. I know flowers grow. We cannot stay the same. So if you love the flower, you cannot hate the rain. Sometimes my day's insane. I'm talking major pain. Hope not, I pray in vain. I'm trying to make a change. I know people change. I know flowers grow. I know we need the rain. Sunflower souls. I know people change. I know flowers grow. I know we need the rain. Sunflower souls. I know people change. Yeah. I know flowers grow. I know flowers grow. I know people change. Yeah. Sometimes we need the rain. Sunflower souls.
All right. Sunflower soul, royalty, 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 royalty to you. Thank you guys for tuning in to another podcast of Enhancing Awareness Radio. I'm your host, Haruda 7 Oracle, from Nomia Teeth and Boy, guys. And first of all, Big Mama, right? Those of you that know me know that I'm an oracle, Big Mama. You know what I'm saying? So, Big Mama is the oracle card I pulled because, you know, I wanted to know what was going on in the energy, you know what I mean? We know with full moon energy, there's a lot at play, you know what I'm saying, when it comes to the full moon energy. So, you know, I hope you guys are balanced. I hope you guys are practicing alchemy, you know what I'm saying, with the lingering of the full. And I hear that there's a retrograde coming up. Even though I don't pay attention to all of that, I mean, I pay attention to it, but I don't get too deep into it, you know what I'm saying? So the energy I pull, you know what I'm saying, for this time now is Big Mama. Now, I always tell you guys that it's always, right, a time to evaluate. It's always a time to, you know, kind of do a self-check. This is kind of see where you at. Fuck what Kanye doing. Fuck what, you know, Boosie doing or Diddy or, you know what I'm saying, or any of the names that may be in the arena of distractions. And, you know, rest in power to anybody, you know what I'm saying, who had to lose their life in this game that we call life, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's a lot going on, you guys, behind the curtain. But here's the thing, you know, Big Mama, right? She is what I pulled. Do you fear? Okay, so here, so when Big Mama is in a reading, you better believe, you better believe that no matter how dark it is now, the light is coming and everything is going to be all right. Big Mama wants us to know everything is going to be all right. You know what I mean? Big Mama may also be speaking
about being willing to be able to share your glory, share your light, share your power, you know, with others, communion with others, you know what I mean? This is not the time to lay low. This is the time to shine our light, you know what I'm saying? So whatever you've been researching on, whatever you, you know. And for me, guys, this season is back to the basics for me, you know what I'm saying? So I'm going to bring forth introducing, right, Renee Hamilton, okay? Renee Hamilton is a buddy of mine. He's been on the podcast, you guys. We did a podcast on The Matrix, and we also did a podcast on Imagination. And I also introduced one of his lectures recently. I forgot which one it was. But in Back to the Basics, guys, he was one in which helped me through a lot of shit. And then, you know, just surprisingly enough, right, Renee and I never lost contact. You know what I'm saying? He has a website. I'm going to put his website information as well as his YouTube channel, guys. I encourage you guys to go binge watch. You know, and this was done 9 years ago. Wow, 9 years ago. I know I've been on this spiritual reawakening, you know what I mean, because I feel that it's always within our DNA. You know, it's just the amount of re-tapping back into it, you know what I mean? So 9 years ago, wow. I think me and Renee, it's probably 2010 was my year that I got reconnected. So that's, what, 10 years? This is 22. So going on 13 years, right? But I met Renee early on in that 13-year time frame. But this is not a race, right? But he talks about the illusion. You know, he talks about, he says that you were not even born. You know what I mean? So go figure. You know, anybody who's at a Hanson Awareness Radio, we have open minds here. You know what I'm saying? So, let me visit the idea of maybe I was not born. Maybe I was just an idea that manifested it through via imagination. And maybe I was, you know what, here's a great time to read. Oh, please don't tell me you're going to mess up on me while I'm on this podcast. Oh, you devil. I love how that works. Maybe because I'm on the phone. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Ha! All right. Whew, this is a long one, but I'm going to read it. God damn it. All right. Birth misconceptions. Here it is. Clearing up a moment, a common misconception about birth and when the soul enters the body. Now, I'm reading this because this is just a different perspective, because Renee goes into stuff like this. This is the level that we're on, you guys. So you may want to grab your pen and, you know, but if you're not a thinker and an observator, if you're kind of closed-minded or fixed, this may not be the one for you. If it is the one for you, you know, just ingest it slowly, you know what I mean? Because shifting our perspectives is not an easy task times, you know what I mean? So before anyone dismisses anything, just have an open mind, right? All right. Many people assume it is at conception or what the heart forms, but we really have actually found that it may be inaccurate. So the whole idea of the whole birth, you know, the sperm, the egg, and all this shit, you know, that's only probably a fraction of it, you know? So we have learned via OTTH, kind of like a hypnosis type thing, regressive hypnosis, that the soul usually enters the body around the time of the first breath. We think that 9 months, that there's a baby or a soul in there, you know what I'm saying? But what if it's just the body formulating, but the soul has not entered the body yet? All right? Perspective, remember. It can enter the body before first birth if it wishes to, but it's not really an enjoyable experience to be in the womb. Just imagine, you guys, being a boring-ass womb for 9 months. It's really not enjoyable, really, for real, for real. So, you know, what if the soul enters the body right before? You know what I mean? Quite frankly, it's affirming and boring, okay? most bodies are on autopilot, just like they go on autopilot as we sleep. While they're in the womb, the soul usually waits outside the body, observing its environment and observing its parents. There goes that theory about how we choose our parents, right? They can also still speak with their soul guides during this time to get extra assistance before they are born. The soul is welcome to come and go as it pleases right up until birth. The only prerequisite for birth is that the soul enters the body on the first breath. You must enter your body on the first breath, which is why the silver cord must be tethered from the soul to the physical body. Failure to do so will result, this is how we get miscarriages, this is how we get stillborns, usually happen when the soul has chosen not to enter the body at the last minute or whatever it chooses. So just, there goes another perspective, guys. The miscarriages, the stillborns, you know what I'm saying? We just think that it's a common mistake or it's something that, you know, the mother did or something like that. But really, what if the soul or what if the child chose not to come at that time? You know what I'm saying? We seem to think that the children or the child doesn't have a say on when it, you know, comes forth. Oh, my God, am I ringing in my ear right now, y'all? Okay. Just as I was saying that, you know what I mean? So, you know, we give the kid and we give the child not enough credit, you know what I'm saying? But the child is the star or the light of all of the shit, you know what I mean? So did the child not give, did the baby not get a choice in any of it? You know, your parents just fucked on December 12th and you had a Gemini, you know what I mean, or whatever, you know, and we just think that's how it goes. No, right? So anyway, miscarriages are also similar. We have learned that miscarriages usually happen when the soul backs out of a contract it had with a particular body, often because it wanted to change something about themselves at the last minute. Perhaps it wanted to change its gender or appearance or even just their birthday. Birthdays are very important, you guys. When you incarnate in your earth, you are, you know, you have a birth chart. You know what I'm saying? So really, cosmically speaking, your birth time and day and everything is, matter of fact, I feel that it's actually one of the number one keys. So if that birth chart is off, a soul may want to renege on their contract. I know I would. Appearance or even just their birth, which would change their natal astrology chart. When this happens, the same soul will usually return to the same parent at a later date. Now, that's the thing. And here's the ending quote, and he goes into abortions. It's also important to note that no soul is ever lost. I'm going to repeat that. It is also important to note that no soul is truly ever really lost within an abortion. Souls know very far in advance if a particular body won't survive long. Abortion is a conscious decision that is respected on the other side. If a woman doesn't wish to carry the body to full term and plans to abort, or plans to abort, then no soul would take the body. We think that it's murder, you guys, but really this is energy. It would be completely pointless to do so. Therefore, no soul is lost. It's just an empty vessel. Abortions are always a life lesson for the adults in the equation. Woo, you know what I mean? But there's a perspective even on that abortion, because I know I was heavy and angry and all that when it came to the topic. But, you know, as I'm starting to open my mind and as I'm starting to dig deeper into researching and everything and how energy works, you know, it's easier for me to navigate my healing processes. And that's just personal for me. But to the world, right? Here's what we're going to get in today's lecture. the illusion of 3D reality from 5D dimensional viewpoint, part one, okay? So I'm going to introduce part one to you in this reason. I'm going to use the same title, and I'm going to go into part two at a later date, okay? So introducing Renee Hamilton, love my buddy, but he goes into 3D quantum world, you know, just hear him out, you know what I mean? And I'll be back to discuss throughout or maybe just to close out the podcast. But join me every weekend, 9 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Eastern. 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central. There we go. All right, guys. I'm on every weekend. But the illusion of 3D reality from a five-dimensional viewpoint. Renee Hamilton, guys. Enjoy.
What you're about to learn will likely make you question everything you thought you knew about your reality. So please join me in welcoming Renee.
Thank you so much for letting me know what this is about for a long time. My goodness, and any years. Thank you so much for showing up. I know I've seen many faces that I've seen before, and here to talk about some very interesting subjects that I've sort of been working towards my whole life since I've been very young. However, things didn't really materialize until more recently in terms of a big shocker for me, so to speak. And I'll start off with thanking Carol for hosting this, and everyone coming down. I know you have your time is valuable. So I won't waste it at all here, and really get on with what I have to say. And the talk of this evening or today is going to be about reality and how it works, the mechanics of reality, and what exactly is taking place within ourselves, and what makes the world seem like it is the way it is. And we're going to explore a different side of reality that I have moved into that vastly differs from this level of reality that we know here. You could say about 6 months or so ago, it's been ongoing for a couple of years, but it was about 6 months ago. This was a breaking point in my life in which I realized there were some anomalies happening in my world, and I'm sure many of you have noticed a lot of synchronicities and deja vu and time sequences maybe a little, you know, time doesn't seem to be moving the way it used to. Things are speeding up, things are quickening, people are, you know, freaking out, some people are awakening. There seems to be a very strong presence of something happening, which is what I have noticed for the past couple of years ago, is that there were some deep inner changes happening in my life. And consequently, I'm going to get straight to the point right away, is that I uncovered that I could say for myself, I was living in a matrix, okay, a false reality that we're all living in, and that I didn't know was false until I came out of it. I didn't know what life was really, truly about until I came out of that sort of a trance. I call it a trance because it's clear to me from the state of consciousness that how I was living before was not really conscious. I was conscious, not the level to which I am now, not really aware of what was taking place and why it was taking place. So as we grow up, we are told what life is about, how it works, how to spell, how to count, how to deduct reasoning, cause and effect, you know, what causes what to happen, time, space, gravity. This is a whole new deal about life. We're taught this by our teachers, parents, priests, pastors, friends, TV, you name it, we're bombarded by stories and ideas of how life works and what it all means. And from this, we are supposed to take all this information and assimilate it and gather our own way to make our way through life and hopefully reach a place of happiness and bliss or just enjoy life in general. However, that doesn't seem to be the case. It seems that we go through our lives and life seems to get more difficult as we go on. And all this knowledge that we've learned since we've been children and whatnot doesn't seem to bring us to a point where we're blissfully happy just being ourselves. Life seems to become a lot more difficult once we get past the responsibility or the lack of responsibility when we're a child. So we come into a point in when which we're adults or young adults in which life becomes very serious and turns out to be a very deep event. It's a very stressful event growing up for most people in North America. And I always wondered why life had to be so hard. I was growing up and my teachers and family and everyone was saying I need to go to college and get this and that. And I just knew there was more to life, much, much more to life. And when I was growing up at a very young age, I knew that I was not from Earth. I had a very strong memory of being a child of the universe. And that continued with me until I'm the age of 10 years old. And I had a very blissful, mystical childhood. A lot of strange things were happening all the time. Things teleporting and link up the mind and intuitively knowing things and seeing other worlds and universes. A very rich, deep light in other worlds. And then one day, around the age of 10 years old, it all ended. So what happened is I felt extremely connected with all of life. I felt really connected with God and creation and had a very dreamy existence. And then one day that just shut off. It was like I entered 3D reality for the first time. And it was traumatizing to me. So it just blew my mind away. I couldn't believe what had happened and where the love went, where the pleasure went, where the other world and universe went. I was just lost. I was just trapped in this body here, and I didn't know what to do about it. And I became very distraught and rebellious. Got to a lot of the theft and stealing and fighting and pickpocketing and purse smashing and selling drugs, doing drugs, fighting and you name it, just lots of crime and a lot of craziness just to compensate my lack of joy. I needed to do something to prove myself, my friends, my body, to see what I was made of in a brave way. And I did a lot of things that were pretty heinous in terms of, you know, morality or ethics. However, these experiences did bring me to a certain level of depth that some people do not get to experience. Not that I'm saying doing crime and all these low vibration things are positive or something that, you know, has been looked up to, since that these experiences have brought me to certain realizations that some people have not gotten due to their experience. So, basically, around the age 18, after many years of being a crazy teen, I had an awakening, which I realized what was and why I was here, what I was doing, where I needed to go, and how did I get there. This was sort of an instant download. I was almost like plugging a computer into my brain and just flooding it with information that was all, it all made sense and it all seemed like it was valid. So it was something that definitely gave me a whole new perspective on life, and I sort of headed in that direction and to the awakening and moving beyond my negative attitudes that were causing massive destruction in my life. And I've always been very, very popular, extremely popular in high school and junior high, and had hundreds of friends, and all my friends had hundreds of friends. There was like 1,000 of us in our neighborhood who just influential in it. You could say I helped spread negative ideas and things onto earth, and that just didn't stop then. That went into my 20s, up until the age of 30 or so, in which I sort of had my second awakening. And that's when I started to take these things I learned over the years, my own spiritual development and my own yearning for truth, and I start to focus that more towards a positive, productive lifestyle. And as a result of me doing that, my abilities, my intuitive, clairvoyant, whatever you want to call it, higher perceptions or more clear perceptions started to sort of shine through. And I started to do a lot of readings for people, medical intuitive readings, in which I can look at people's bodies and see what sort of illnesses, what sort of energies are going on. Also develop the ability to look into people's minds and see how they're thinking, why they're thinking, what they're thinking. Almost like the mind has like an architect blueprint for it. And it's like I could see that just glancing at people, I could see a sort of structure in which their mind operates, both mentally and emotionally and in other ways. There's other ways, but there's other ways that don't have a definition. So I can explain to you some of the feelings, some of a almost like a karmic knowing, so to speak. So it's hard to explain. However, many years of doing thousands of readings for people and seeing what makes people tick and really looking deep within myself and develop some really amazing abilities in that aspect. And with that information, I took that and realized how to manipulate energy, life force, chi, the very underlying physical creation, per se, and created a whole new technology called, it's an ancient technology that's reborn, called quantum nano vortex technology. And Carol has been working with me for many, many years on these products and getting them out there and has it all around the world now and developing these new technologies that are pretty amazing and just continuing on the board. So basically, before the age of 30, I used my psychic or intuitive abilities for, you could say, more dark end, per se. Then, for example, one day I was going to Safeway with a friend of mine, and we decided we're going to go steal something, purse, money, something. I think I was 15 years old, and we went to Safeway, and we're walking, and a lady had her wallet in the cart, and the cart had a top little layer there. I'm not sure if carts do anymore, but they used to. And she had her wallet in there, and we walked in the Safeway, and I just saw her wallet sitting there, and I just grabbed it and just ran off the direction out of the store right away. And there's a bunch of men, and everyone chasing us, and she's yelling, thief, and me and my friend are running, and we run into the wrong door, into the indoor, so we smash our faces, full speed on the glass on the way out, and then we realize there's 10 men behind us chasing us, so we run out and jump into the back of the truck and lose our money. And then the whole point of this is to get your money at the purse. So I opened the purse and it was like $20, $30, and that was it. And it was a bunch of us, and we're like, that was a waste of time. So knowing my own abilities to go into other worlds, per se, I looked through everything. All I found was a bank card, and I said to the universe, I'm going to will myself knowing what your bank card numbers are. And then something told me in that moment, her bank card number is hidden as a phone number somewhere. And so I went through every piece of paper in the purse, found a business card with a phone number written on the very bottom right-hand corner, 47, blah, 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 blah. And so that I knew that phone number contained the number in her PIN card. And so I took the last 4 digits of that phone number and put it in the bank machine, and boom, the money came out. And all my friends were like, what in the hell? How did that happen? And to me, it was normal, because I know I was raised without boundaries in terms of what possibilities were. When I was very, very young, my mother told me I could walk through walls. I really wanted to learn how to do that. And started to help me meditate at a very young age. But after a couple times, I was too young. My mind was too goofy. I started laughing, and it was a joke, so I just sort of let it go. But I was always very interested in that, and I was raised without any medication. My mom was not herbs, and I always did a lot of meditational healing for me if I got sick or whatever. So the body was very, very clean. She lives very good, and there was an interest in the mystical side of life that sort of carried through, and that allowed me to go beyond barriers that most people wouldn't even dream of. That being said, up to the present moment, many, many, many years later, there came a point about March this year in which I realized that the life of Lene, this life, all the history I've ever had, being here on Earth, the way I interpreted everything was as a story. Pretty much, I came to realize that everything I've ever told myself until this point was a story. It was my interpretation based on how I saw the world and whatnot. And I thought to myself, if I wanted to have a different life, what would I do? If I wanted to write a new story, what would I write? What would it be? Would it be better than the story that's already here, or be worse? And I looked at the story and the whole memory of everything I thought ever happened to me, and I said, well, it is an amazing life. It's a great story. So it made a great book or something, because I didn't get into any of the details of my life deeply. However, I thought, no, I would write a whole new story that would be, and the only word I can come up with would be unlimited. I would just unlimit everything. And so realizing that my whole life up until this point has been a story, I just said, well, and I'm reacting to that story. I'm pulling memories from the past, judging myself based on things I've seen, I've heard, or I think I should do, all these things. And it just occurred to me that if I want to be happier, I just have to rewrite a new story, just get rid of the old story. It's not serving me anymore, and write a new one. And my new story was called Unlimited. And it was right around this time that I had a realization that being unlimited, I went to a party pretty much, and I met a guy who I've never met before. He told me about his lecture to me at this party about things I lecture to other people about. And it's different hearing it from someone else. And a couple of things he said just hit home. I just knew in that moment that what he said is, Renee, you know, we need to accumulate our energy, and once we've accumulated enough life force energy, that we need to turn our bodies, our physical bodies, into light bodies, and turn it and basically travel the universe as a light body, but still be here, like still be on Earth, you know, not having to die. And this I've known, yet I forgot for a certain period of time that this is my true nature. And in that moment, I was like, yes, I just seized upon it. And that was it. In that moment, I made the decision, done. It was done deal. And the next day I woke up, it seemed as though my thoughts were at a distance from me. I was no longer in them. They were kind of like a few feet away from me. So I realized, wow, I could sort of, there's a bit of relief here. I could sort of have more headspace. And so this continued for about a month and a half, which was stuck a little farther and farther away from me. So they're like 30, 40 feet away from me. And I could see them rising, almost like balloons. But I was at a distance away. So I wasn't bombarded by loud, banging thoughts in my head at all anymore. They were sort of over there, and I could pick and choose which thought I wanted to entertain. And so what happened in the middle of April is something said to me, are you ready to let it all go, Renee? And I was sitting near my computer, and I thought to myself, no. No, I have family, I have friends, I have, art work I do, lecturing. I love whatever I'm doing. I don't want to let it all go. And I knew what that meant. I knew that meant surrender, but I didn't know what was on the other side of that. I didn't know. So about a week later, after saying no to the universe, I don't want to wake up, I got a massive mental mind attack of thoughts just bombarding me and making me go almost crazy. It was nightmarish, actually. And I went on for 2 hours until I focused on being present in the now moment and just focusing on listening to music and on focusing on each note. And so what I learned during this period was really profound. So what had happened, I was sitting at my computer working, and this giant thought sort of appeared in front of me, 30 feet away. And it was a thought of fear. And normally the fear wouldn't even touch me. But at this time, I saw myself shrink and just in that fear, and clairvoyantly, literally, I moved inside of the thought, inside. And it was just so overwhelming. It was mind-blowing. And I stayed there for about 2 hours trying to get out of stop my mind from bombarding me with these fears, and I was eventually able to float out of this giant structure. It looked like it was about 7 feet tall, and I literally just kind of floated out above it and pulled myself back. And then the thought went away, and I went over here, and went over here, so I was separated. And it was at that point I realized that thoughts are actually dimensions. So we are intrinsically before thought, we are this absolutely blissful, peaceful, silent, amazing, insightful, pure consciousness, pure awareness. And what happens is when you think a thought, it goes inside your awakeness, goes inside of a thought, and lives in that 3D world. The thought actually makes a 3D world around you, each thought that you entertain. It actually goes inside of a thought and creates a 3D reality with that thought around you. And now that's just one thought. Now, most people, most people who go throughout their day think between 16 and 90,000 thoughts a day. Now, what that means is, it means that each thought that you're thinking literally creates a 3D reality around you. So between 60 and 90,000 thoughts a day, we are repeating the same thoughts over and over again, which are creating the same physical circumstances that we find ourselves in every day. So what I realized was thoughts are dimensions. The more dimensions you live in, the more you're trapped into those dimensions, the more you're lost into those thoughts. The less thoughts you have, the less dimensions you're living in, meaning that there's no time, no space, there's no borders, no barriers, because there's no thought to lock you into any barrier or border or limitation. So that was one thing I had discovered. And it was soon after that, about a week later, that I realized that voice asked me again, are you ready to let go? And I said, yes. In fact, I'm more than ready to let go. I'm ready to die right now for truth. For the ultimate truth, I don't care if a Mack truck comes and smashes in my house and kills me. I need a stray bullet. I don't care. I'm ready to go right now. And that was dead serious. And it was about not even a week later, I was walking with a friend of mine, and we went to Costco, and we're shopping around, and then just in 1 second flat, I popped out of 3D reality. And everything became bright and colorful. The voices were drowned out in the background. There was deep silence. Everything looked and felt different. There's this magical sort of presence that just swept over me. And my friend and I were experiencing the same thing at the same time. Exactly, literally the same experience. And we're laughing, we couldn't believe it. I knew we had a shift in consciousness. I didn't know how long, how permanent it would be, how, if it's a temporary thing or not. but it has saved. It saved her, you know, continually now. And so I'm going to explain to you a little bit about what it is like living here and break down the illusions of the reality that are keeping you locked into a state in which is not pleasurable compared to living here. It's just not true. It's just a fake, hacked version of reality. It's not. It's literally a matrix. And it's not here by accident. It's purposely put here. So you could say that there seems to be an awakening right now.
It was perfectly put here.
Yes.
And you?
Yes.
Can you explain that?
Yeah, I'm gonna get through all of it. Absolutely, I'm gonna break it down to the meaning and how it got here and whatnot. So I have noticed there's a serious level of hypnotic trance, optical, audio illusion happening right now within each of our minds that are locking us into a reality that is literally not real, and I mean literally, not just hypothetically. What I've come to experience now in the state of consciousness, and you can call it fifth dimensional, fourth dimensional, in fact, any dimension, any label that's on it is just is erroneous, because it's literally, I stepped into infinity. However, there's going to be a transition period between time, living in time, and living out of time. And that's where things can get really funny. So that's what's happening. Over here, there's a massive shift, moment to moment. And I wouldn't say day to day, literally moment to moment, on how I perceive and feel about this thing called life here. So the state I've come into is a state of recognizing that, let me start with the interesting thing. When I had first awakened, I realized that all my senses seemed to be amplified. I would say several hundred times what they would normally be. In fact, the body here feels like about 100 organs going through every cell of the body every moment. And some parts of the body more than others. But sometimes the eyes will feel like they want to pop out, not like hurting wise, but so much pleasure that I describe it as excruciating pleasure, because it's so much pleasure sometimes that I don't have to do it myself. Back one day, I wanted to go to a movie. We wanted to go to a movie together, and I had to turn around because I just wasn't too much bliss. I couldn't. I wasn't able to focus on the movie. So the body, in different parts of the body, you may experience blissful sensations. And when I say orgasmic, I don't mean sexual. It's just extreme pleasure in parts of your body that you didn't know had pleasure and felt sensation. And every cell of your body can experience this bliss, if you want to call it that. And this bliss is a natural state of being. That's what we naturally are, in a heightened state of being. So all sensations are dramatically enhanced to the point where we all know what eating ice cream like was when we were a child, or certain things, and we're like, wow, just taste the same as it did back in the day, and things are run down, and your senses aren't as rich. But all this starts to come back. Like, every meal I eat, actually, every single thing now, is like I'm eating for the first time, and it tastes mind-blowing. I can't even believe some of the food I eat. It's just crazy. Taking a shower is like a whole other dimension. The water in the body, just can't believe how good it feels. Brushing your teeth, even sometimes going to the bathroom, you know, for number one, is like orgasm. Music, it sounds, it takes on about 10 different dimensions. So music now is not just a flat little sound I'm hearing, it's that 3D or 50, whatever you call it, experience that. So I can see colors and shapes, very rich, deep, 3D sort of interdimensional shapes moving through the air, combining with other sounds, combining with what I'm looking at. It's like all senses combined to to create a unique, very deep and rich experience. And quite often I find myself tasting things very, like, as though they're in my mouth. Peanut butter, barbecue, chicken, french fries, sauce, whatever. Just, I can just taste it in the mouth while I'm walking around doing whatever I'm doing. What has happened is my mind has used to be located right behind the eyes here, right in the head. It seems to have went beyond that now to where it's connected with the universal mind, if you want to call it like that. I don't know how to explain it. Yeah. Other than at this moment right now, I'm present here, yet it's just a small portion of you that's present here. It's just a sliver compared to the inner world, you could say, that I'm experiencing right now as I'm talking to you. So I'm talking to you here, yet there's 99.9999% of you elsewhere. But it's not really elsewhere. It's just I'll explain that as well. So everything seems to be very dreamy, very much like I'm dreaming right now. This is not real. And everything looks shiny, shimmery, kind of floaty, watery, liquidy almost. Kind of like I can see infinity in the air, waves of infinity. And everyone I look at or everything I hear or touch reminds me of this infinity, of this endless world that are here. I can look at people and I can visually make them smaller or bigger, and everything sort of is malleable, it's removable. Time is completely shifted. This moment, time is completely shifted. It seems to be liquid. Yeah. Hours can go by and you can experience. And when I look at the clock, only 10 minutes have gone by, or a whole day can go by, but it feels like it's a whole month of experience. And that, there's a reason for that. I'll get into that in just a moment. One last second.
Yeah, what you're talking about, does it feel like your focus is here, and yet you are everywhere? You are focused here, which is the center view, but you are everywhere?
I say that everything that exists, or it could exist, did exist, will exist, comes from me.
That's right. So your focus is here in this room with us.
Yeah.
And yet you are everywhere. Or
right.
Are everywhere.
There's more than one focus going on in that.
Okay.
This is just one small part of my focus. But when I see my and when I say I'm everything that ever has been or could be or will be, I'm not talking about Renee. I am and I am not. Renee's body right here is a manifestation of pure life force, of pure all that is. I mean, I'm alive, and life is everything. And thus, I know that now, and I recognize that, and by recognizing that, this feeling of separate, this idea of being separate from the universe, it just went away. And I realized that this is all me, this. And I see bodies here and people here and chairs and whatnot here, yet I know that's not what I'm looking at. I know you're not people. I know there's not chairs. I know this is not even Renee. It's pure life force, pure consciousness, you could say, that is manifesting as every shape in the universe, everything that ever could be, will be, has been, is one life force that is appearing as everyone here. So we're all one thing, yet the mind has developed a optical illusion, you could say, to say that we're separate. Now that optical illusion is what I'm going to explain to you is how, what it's doing, how it works, and how to remove yourself from the optical illusion so you can see what's really here, which is mind-blowing. It's just mind-blowing. There's just pure joy, inspiration, and love, and just a silence of serenity that's here all the time. And it's like this absolutely shockingly beautiful. It's just so amazing and mind-blowing that it's even remembering who Renee was before and how Renee thought and dreamed and whatever he did was just so limited compared to this. It's like a joke. And not that it's a bad thing. I mean, I appreciate, you know, everything I've been through. It's just, it seems like a faded memory. It seems like it's 100 years ago. So there's just a knowingness that death is just an illusion completely. There's the freedom of the mind to go into the universe and zoom around and look at different, look at all that you are, and it's an infinite journey. And you say the perception changes. Sometimes I find myself not being able to feel the body at all, not knowing how I got to where I got, because I'm so much in the present moment. I had no memory of what I did even a minute ago. The fact that I went to Kelowna recently and I came back and I went to my house and I got to my house, I went into the bathroom, I came back out, and I was shocked. I walked into my living room and I saw it outside, you know, trees and cars and everything, and I was like, wow, what is all this? And I realized, oh, I'm at home and I'm looking outside, because I didn't even know there was anything other than what I was doing at that moment existed. That was so present. So I'm going to explain a little bit about the optical illusion happening here. And we've all gone through life believing what we've been told about science and, you know, reality, how it works and how the Earth is and so on and so forth. However, has any of us actually ever sat down on our own with a pen and paper and decided, you know what, I'm not going to believe what the scientists say. I'm going to figure out time, space, gravity, and life on my own. Now, we always assume, you know, we're busy with work, we're about a boyfriend, girlfriend, or seeing things in life, and we think, we'll just leave that to science. We'll need them to figure out the answers to the universe, gravity, time, space, you know, what's going on in life, and whatever. And we just think, well, I'll just continue my job and work, and I'll leave that to the experts. Yet, it may not come from some sort of awareness. However,
I hope you guys are enjoying this, but I just wanted to pause that right there real quick, because he's speaking on the distractions. You know, how often are we so distracted that we really don't sit down with our own pen, our own pencil, our own notebook, and get back to the old school ways, right, of, you know, just exploration, you know, in divinity, but with oneself, or even with how the world operates, you know what I mean? So the message in that is don't be too busy that we don't, you know, focus inwardly. And as Sensei saw, I would say sitting in it, right? And there's a friend, girl of mine, and I love her a lot, but I always sent her, like, you know, she's going through problems or issues, you know, perceived problems, right? Situations, like I said, there are no problems, there are only situations. And she's like, 2 hours? 3 hours? What, you know what I mean? But if we really don't truly have the time to sit down and be patient with our own exploration, guys, you know, we'll probably always be distracted. You know, we'll probably be easily distracted at that, right? All right, hope you guys are enjoying this lecture. This is part one, and I will do part two at a later time. And we got about an hour left on this one.
Everyone has their own story. Everyone has their own agenda. Everyone has their own ideas of how things work. Same with the scientists. So rather than us going through life sort of assuming that we have all the knowledge there is to know, why don't we discover what that knowledge is for ourselves, for that wisdom, or that experience? And that's exactly what I did. I stopped assuming that I knew what was going on, or that others who told me what was going on, I stopped assuming that they knew what was going on. So I thought, I'm going to put this test and find out for myself. And one of the first things I noticed is a problem with time. once the thoughts stopped or sort of went away, I realized there was a lack of time. And I realized within my awareness here that time is illusion. It just doesn't hold up, it's glue. So I'm going to give you some examples, and I'm not going to teach. Something you may learn, may, is that you know nothing. And that's the height of intelligence, because we'll see. I'll show you an example, then you can let me know if what I'm saying makes sense or doesn't make sense. Okay? So I'm just going to point out the obvious. That's it. Okay? Right now, now tell me if you all agree or disagree, that right now is right now. It's just here. You agree? Okay. Right now, in this moment, as far as we can tell, this moment has never happened before. It's the first time I'm saying this, first time you're sitting here right now. It's a brand new experience for us, correct? Okay. In this brand new experience, this now and this new and this fresh new moment, can you stop this new moment from happening? Can you stop this freshness, newness, this now from happening? Anything? No? Okay. Can you see any beginning or end to this newness, this freshness, this brand new moment? Any beginning or end to it? No? Okay. Can you see anything stopping it from happening? No? Okay. Is there any effort for you to exist in this moment right now? No. Okay. So, you exist effortlessly right now. Right now is right now. And it's a new now, always fresh, always new. Never happened before. Okay? No beginning, no end. No limitation, nothing stopping it. So, is it safe to say that this moment right now is unlimited? Because there's nothing stopping it from happening. There's no beginning, end. Right? Okay? And you exist in this moment, right? So is it safe to say that you are unlimited right now? Because where is the limitation? Right? Okay. It's brand new, fresh, it's never happened before. It's unlimited, and you exist now, so you must be unlimited. Now, where does limitation occur? Well, if we think about what we are or what we've surpassed and think, oh, I'm this person, okay? Where did you get that information from? From the past. Okay, when you think about your life, everything you've ever been through, everything you've done, all the experiences, people you've had, places you've met, the love you've had, the hate you've had, let's ask you right now, in this moment, to describe yourself without thinking about it. Just know how to do that. You cannot describe yourself right now without thinking about it. Because we all think that all of our experiences, all of our thoughts, all of our memories and experiences make us who we are today. Okay? So in our mind's eye, in our mind, we're just going to pull together our description of ourselves and sort of hold it in front of us and say, hey, this is who I am, and this is who I am, this is how I got to be who I am. Now, these are a compilation of thoughts and memories. Okay? Now, I'm going to ask you right now, are you living? You're a living being right now, right? You're not a thought, correct? You're a thought. You're living. So when we describe ourselves to others, or even to ourselves, we describe it using thoughts. Okay, oh, this is what I want, how far I am, what I want to be, those are thoughts. And we get to describe our thoughts together and say, that's me. But are you really a thought? Are you really a thought? Clearly you're not a thought. Okay. Now, if right now is right now and always been right now and has always been the present moment, when was there ever room for a past to occur if it's always been the present moment? And it's always been brand new. It's always been brand new. Always fresh. Always unlimited. Always here. Always now. Where was there ever a past to occur other than a thought, a memory showing up in the now saying it's from the past? Okay? The past, right now, is unlimited. The past is a dream of limitation. It's a dream of a character, whatever your name is, and the memories that come along with it, showing up in the now, seeing through that character, seeing through all that limitation. But really, you're here right now. So where is the past right now? You were born in the present moment. And you always grew. So it's not like there was a past at some time, even though hurt. You always be in the present moment. So the past seems to be an obstacle leading way to pull you out of your thinking, which is the present moment right now, which is your infinite potential here and now for anything. Pull you out of the present moment, put you into a state of meditation based on your ideas of who you are, where you're being, what's coming up next. You know, you have a whole story for how life works, and it's all based upon the past. But where is the past? Where did it ever be? If the now is always here now, where could there ever be a past? There couldn't ever be a past. This is an optical illusion put on by the matrix, if you want to call it that, that's here to keep your attention away from the present moment. It's just all your attention, most people's attention, is not here in the present moment. In fact, most people cannot, even not down to, on the highest level of the average human, not that there's an average, but average person can see.
Now, if any of you guys are wanting to learn more on the power of now, I encourage all of you to get Eckhart Tolle's book. It's Eckhart Tolle, Eckhart, E-C-K-A-R-T, I think, Tolle, T-O-L-L-E. The book is called The Power of Now. Wonderful, wonderful book, guys. It breaks down on, just kind of understanding in order to understand, the now moment and what it means to you, right? So, yeah, that's a book to go in extension to what he's talking about.
Okay. Keep their attention to the present moment for at most 19 to 20 seconds before a thought takes them one way or another. 19 to 20 seconds. Some people say, I'll take my word for it, that after being able to continuously keep your attention on the present moment for 7 minutes when you reach the first stage of the light. And I don't mean enlightenment as in, world exploding of joy and fun, just a measure of relief of what's the word? Peace, inner peace, so to speak. And allegedly, if you can keep your awareness present for 45 minutes to an hour, then you reach a second state of awakening or enlightenment, in which you now have developed that as a routine. You're now clear from stories. Okay, so when you don't have stories, you don't have agenda. Okay. Now, it was the strangest thing for me to do after awakening to, after I integrated more of it, to start to meet people and not have any agenda. Normally I would meet a woman who I thought was attractive, and I'd be thinking, look at her neck, look at her face. Or what can I get from her? Or maybe she wants something from me, or just something. And every person, it'd be something. I'd be judging them, looking at them, thinking about them, basically reading them, or they want something from me, and we'd be this give and take energetic between each person and each object. Not just each person, object, anything I thought was just this, what can I get from you? Or what can it do for me? It was always about me. That's the, and it was the strangest thing, meeting people, men, women, people, opportunity, and not caring, really, not judging, nothing, just, let's be like a little kid again. So one thing that I noticed is that life is like being a little kid again. There's a non-judgment, there's a happiness, a joy to each situation, and there's just a non-agenda. There's just a clarity. So you can see clearly. You're not motivated either way to get something or do something. You're just here, present, without any external idea upon it. And so there's just a feeling of being at home at all times because there's nothing you need. There's so much pleasure moving through now. I don't need ISO, but want to go to Hawaii and all these places around the world for vacation, for a whole year. It doesn't really matter to me anymore because me walking from here to the car is like Hawaii. It's just so much pleasure just existing that anything I do on top of just sitting here is just more joy. So there's a self-satisfaction that comes with knowing that you are this eternal presence that has always been here and never not going to be. So you're looking around you, and you see your body here. Now, we're all told that we have five senses, okay? There's actually a sixth sense we're not told about, and it's not the ESP sense either. And by sensing, I mean that, for example, you're all sensing me up here with your vision and with your hearing, okay? Now, when you look at something normally, you don't say, hey, I'm that. I'm sensing that, so I'm that. Clearly, when you see a car drive by, you don't sit there every car drive by and say, yeah, I'm that. You don't say that. Same thing you hear, touch, taste, and smell. You don't say that. However, there's something that you're aware of. Most people are aware of. And they, this sense, they think they are that sense. Okay. It's the sense of thoughts. Okay. We're all aware of thoughts. We're all aware of you. If we're aware of it, then we must be sensing it. Okay? Where do we come up with the idea that we are that which we're sensing? I don't believe they told us in school, hey, you are your senses. I told you, you have senses, but not that you are your senses. So even if we were our senses, hypothetically, why would we choose to associate with one of those senses and then remove the other five? So in order for us to sense our senses, in order for us to be aware of our senses, we must be outside of them so we can look and say, hey, those are senses. Okay? Just like for us right now to be operating in time and space, we must be outside of it to recognize and point out time and space. Okay? Just like right now. We're existing here and I hold my arm, I hold these arms in front, I can see arms, I can see movement, I can hear a voice coming out, I can feel vibration. Yes, I'm sensing those things. I am sensing, so I must be outside of those things in order to sense it. That whole reality, if you want to call it that, is I'm sensing it. Okay? This is all happening in my awareness. Okay? So reality is happening inside your awareness, okay? Because you're aware, and it's happening in your awareness. So thus, reality here is, the big game about reality is about association or identification. What have you identified with? And most people have identified with their thoughts. They state they are their thoughts. Whatever the thoughts say, I'm Renee, I like to go swing set in Sweden. You know, and I'm like, yeah, okay, and then I'll go do that. And thinking, yeah, that was me who said that. Yes, it wasn't me who said that. It was a thought that arose in my awareness. It's like a car driving by that said, hey, I'm Renee, I want to go do this. And I said, okay, yes. And seized upon that and tried to own that. Yeah, that's mine, that's me, that's who I am. And then you build a story around what the voice is saying. Okay. Now, this voice can say anything it wants. And most people never question that. They don't question it. They don't even inquire to see if that voice is valid in any way whatsoever. Now, let me give you an example of what I mean by that. I'll give you two examples of what I mean by this voice and how delusional it is. It's absolutely ridiculous. When you can get outside of it to see what it's doing and what it's saying, it's absurd. We all know that if someone wants to judge you or attempts to judge you, that their judgments are just opinion and they're wrong. And they're wrong because someone has to walk a mile in your shoes to know you. They can't just walk up to you and call you a goofball, you know, and really be right. because they don't know, and they have to walk them out in their shoes. Do you agree? Okay. So that person's opinion or thought can't know you because that opinion or thought is not you. Okay? The thought or opinion they have is not you. So whatever they're saying can't be true. Okay? And now, take that right there. Can a thought ever be someone? A thought ever be someone? No? Yeah? No. Can a thought ever be something else? No. So if a thought can't be someone or be something else, how does a thought know what it's talking about? It never had any experience as being a living thing to acquire any wisdom or knowledge or experience at all. A thought knows nothing because it's not a thing. It's just an idea. But the idea is not a living, breathing being like you and I. So these thoughts that are talking to us, hey, Ray, you should go here and do this and that, and because you did this, that other person did this, and that means that. Well, if a thought's never being anyone or anything, how would it know anything? Okay? It's just dreaming these stories up on the fly, so to speak. The mind just repeats. It just takes information in and repeats it. Okay, that's its job, is to repeat information and to strategize and judge and calculate. But there's nothing new and original about your mind. Just, it's like a machine. It's like stuff here. You put information in, you put good programming in, you get good programming out. Put crappy information in, crappy information out. The minds are operating the same way. And there really is no mind. There's just thoughts that say there's a mind. Okay? Because that's all we're aware of are thoughts. Have anyone ever seen a mind? Clearly not. So, does the mind exist? It's just a thought. It's just an idea. Just like all the ideas. So, with that being said, a thought can't know anything because it's never been anything to know anything. Now, let me give you an example. Right now, your life, your whole experience from age zero to now, all the emotions, all the thoughts, all the experiences, taste, touch, feelings you had, all this rich whole life experience. If I were to write down one word, if you were to write down one word to describe your whole life, would that one word accurately represent your whole life? Clearly not. Clearly there's an infinite amount of experiences that one word can never describe. Even if I was to write a book of 1,000 words, autobiography, even if you were to write your own autobiography, would that autobiography or 1,000 pages or words actually come close to the experience of being you? No way. They're just words. There's no way. It's like trying to describe an apple. Something that's never eaten an apple. There's no way to describe a taste. Okay? So we all know intrinsically there's a gigantic gift behind who we are that even the name, Renee, or your name, or anyone's name, could never account for. Okay? So keep that in mind. When we go out into the world and look at other objects, look at this per se. I mean, does anyone know what the reality is of this? What this is thinking, feeling, or doing, or what the molecules or atoms are laying in there? No one knows. It's just this thing in there that we're like, oh, it looks like a church pew or an old stand or whatever. But we're just guessing. We're just labeling it based on what we've been told. So the reality behind everything is huge and deep and rich. Now, keep in mind, our own realities are huge and deep and rich. So if anyone was to label anything negative or positive or anything, not only would that not be true, it'd be a lie. Because the reality behind it is way beyond that label. Okay? Now, when we go into the world, we look at other people, we look at objects, and we label them. Car, truck, cell phone, you know, McDonald's, Big Mac, whatever it is. What we're doing is we're ignoring the reality of the actual living life force behind that object or person and shrinking it into one word, which we've already established can never match or even come close to the fears of the real being, the real thing. Okay, so whatever we say about ourselves or others cannot be true because the reality is being human is bigger than that. labeling anything. We're literally creating a false imaginary world defined by those labels and ignoring the real reality, the infinite depth behind each situation. Infinite depth. Like your cells go on forever. You can zoom in on your cells and atoms and protons and it will zoom in forever and never stop. And you can zoom out galaxy forever. It never stops. It's one continuous stream from bottom to top. And it's infinite. Each cell is infinite. You're a walking infinity. Walking, talking infinity. Thinking is a human being. And clearly that thought of it being a human being is not right. Because how could it one word account for this infinite experience going on here? Or even a thousand words. So when we're walking around all day, we're going thinking you know what these things are when you don't know what they are. And because of that, we're living in a life in which we're all confused. We don't know what's going on. Things happen from one day to the next. Confusion. This person did that. This did that. Oh, I should fix my hair. I had to roll my hair this time. And who knows what? Just the mind will go crazy and think all sorts of crazy thoughts all day, all night. All speculating, judging, trying to figure things out, strategizing, trying to figure out the best thing to make today, tomorrow, to get this done, that done. It's just strategizing because the mind doesn't know anything. It doesn't know anything. So it needs to figure things out because it doesn't know anything. Why doesn't the mind know anything? Because in the mind, the thoughts are not alive. They can't be. So they're struggling for meaning because the thoughts have no meaning. They're just spontaneous happenings that have no basis in reality. So basically, we end up living life in a pretend imaginary scenario in which we've labeled objects and people as limited definitions. And clearly, we know there's a whole living reality behind them that we're not taking into account. And by us labeling them, we're just falling deeper into sleep, deeper and deeper and deeper into an imaginary world of ideas and limited concepts that basically your thoughts actually physically shapes the way reality looks to you in each moment. My vision, everything just completely shifted the moment I recognized I was aware beyond the body, beyond the thoughts, beyond emotions, beyond even the idea of the self. There's an awakening, there's a real intelligence here that when you look at human intelligence, what is capable of doing in that limited aspect, it's not even intelligence. It's actually the opposite of that. It's actually just completely vanity and arrogance and complete illusion. It's just absolutely shockingly the same as the way the mind operates in that limited human perspective. It's just, the difference is so bad that all I see now is infinite potential in every moment. And on the other side, you see infinite imitation and strive for infinite potential. But from here, it's just infinite potential, and everything else is just limitation on top of it. So this feeling, this knowingness of infinite potential brings about a reality in which miracles and infinite possibilities can happen from day to day, moment to moment, and they do. Time and space, and the laws of gravity, and cause and effect, and miracles, and everything is just magic, absolute pure magic just arrives, because this is what we are. We are living. We are alive. And if we look at the universe, if you walk outside right now and look at the environment and look in every direction, you can't see the end of physical creation in any direction. It's just creation just goes off the horizon in every direction. And when you look at a car or a tree, you say, that's part of the environment. That's part of nature, the tree or the lions and zebras and giraffes and whatnot. And this body is part of that environment that goes on forever in every direction. And I can't think of any ends to the outside anywhere. It's just infinite. And this body is part of that. So the body and its manifestation must be infinite as well. Not just based on that, just off of physical observation. But clearly there's an infinite world going on within the body and cells and atoms. And who knows what's going on? And each cell and atom has their own life. Has just no conscience. It's a big party going on. It's a big party in here, and you know, fighting over there. I don't know what's going on in there. Who knows? So this is a whole universe is happening right here. And so there is no individual. There's no individual Renee. There's just a thought popping up saying, hey, I'm Renee. But is that thought right? What does that thought know? Has the thought ever been anything? Even know anything? Clearly not. And can the thought correctly display the real reality going on here? Clearly not. So thoughts are just delusions. They're just made up stories to explain this thing called love. Now, if this moment is brand new, never happened before, fresh, unstoppable, unlimited, bring it. How can we limit it past ideas to explain this brand new, never happened before, unlimited moment? Doesn't make sense. How? It doesn't make any logical sense that that is a past idea, a past that never existed, on top of that, to explain to brand new, unlimited, that never happened before. It's just delusional. So we're just making up stories as we go along to just fulfill our wishes. We are unlimited infinite being, right here, right now, and with unlimited potential, and with all that unlimited, we're like gods of our own universe, with all that unlimited power, all that unlimited wisdom, and the will, our will. And will this scenario into existence. We are living our own imagination in real time. So everything, either thought, done, action, any emotion, everything you can think about has brought you to this point to where this is the sum total of your imagination manifested right here, right now, including your abilities, your height, your weight, what you can do, what you can perceive, who you're, and you literally defined each part of your life with a label. My brother, my mother, my sister, my shoes, my car, you know, my hair. No one told you. No one forced you to label anything the way that you labeled it. You came up with that enough. All your conclusions, all your traumas, all your past, all these things remain in the past, which is not here right now. Now, why do these things seem to occur? Why do these things seem to show up? Why does past seem to be? Well, with our infinite power, infinite potential, and I mean infinite meaning that there's no borders, you're just floating in every direction at all times, that infiniteness can account for infinite unawakeness, infinite sleep, infinite delusion, infinite limitation, because we're unlimited, and an unlimited accounts for everything that could be. So limitation also occurs within the unlimitedness that we are. And that's what we would call our dark side, our sleeping self, our shadow self. Okay? It's a limitation. It's dark, it's constricting. It's not happy, it's not loving, it's not free. Yet that is a part of us. Because we're infinite, it accounts for infinite darkness. But really, if we're infinite, then that limitation or that darkness can't be real. Because if we're infinite and that withholds limitation within it, then the limitation is only in a only a mirage. It only seems that way because really you're infinite. So that's where there's a conundrum. You know, as people say, why do these things happen? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do bad things seem to go hard? Because we've imagined, you know, that is a possibility for us in our life, and we define it in that way. We all know that any situation that you encounter, you can change into a positive situation, any negative circumstance. We know that we can encounter any situation and turn it positive or negative or twist it any way you want. That's because all situations and events are neutral. They're all neutral. And then we place our version of events, our story, on top of that neutral event. And that neutral event because it's neutral, it doesn't mean only that it's not good or bad. It means it's neutral. Literally, it's infinite. That every situation is infinite. And because every situation is infinite, we have free will to choose how we want to interpret that, or what we want to do with that, if anything at all. So, truly, we give 100% meaning to everything that we do. And that meaning, because we have that power and we're infinite beings, we manifest that meaning into 3D physical reality, which then occurs as our day of experience. And hence, we're living our day of experience. Now, you're already manifesting. You're already manifesting your life right now. So, you might as well manifest your ultimate. You might as well sit down and manifest your ultimate life you want. However, I would suggest you take it one step further. And that's not even a unique story. Literally, get rid of all the stories. Because what happens is you stop thinking about things and you start being. Okay, you actually step into a place of being rather than thinking. So it's the evolution of consciousness, you want to call that. Moving from a thinking being, doesn't know anything, guessing, trying to work out your life, walking through the dark, to just being your whole experience. And I don't mean just the body here. I mean whatever you encounter, you actually can become. So when you meet someone, it's no longer judging them, guessing them, thinking about them. You literally just become their energy, their beingness, and you just see what they're going to feel. You like merge with that person, if you want to call it that. So there's understanding. There's total just, there's no judgment because, number one, everything you're dealing with right now is our whole life in each moment is a better experience in this now and this newness, this freshness. This is all we know. This newness now and this right now happening. And everything, and we exist in this now. We exist for that. And everything else that we're looking at exists now as well. So everything must be coming out of us. Because myself is awareness and experience of this room and whatever. I have never been separate from any of my experiences. Any experience I've had, I've been part of it. That must definitely be everything I've everyone else in my experience, if you want to call it that, is also part of me because it's all happening with me. Okay? So there is a literal oneness. Okay? When you were born on the planet, come out of your mother's womb, you enter a system of life. Here on Earth, doctors, diapers, food, water, loving, cuddling, whatever. The moment you step into the Earth, you were a child of the Earth, you could say, in one respect, physically speaking. If you could zoom out of the Earth, you'd be a mile above, and span across about 1 year or 100 years, you'd see civilizations come and go, build horses and cow dying, and people dying and born, and just kind of floating up and down on Earth, of just things being born and dying back on Earth. So, we've come to this sort of idea that we're not part of nature. Man-made, and all have to go and walk through nature and go for ice in nature. And we see animals, lions kill a giraffe or whatever, and that's okay. It's nature. So nature thing is okay. But if a human kills an animal, or human kills a human, that's not magic. That's not nature. That's not what it's supposed to be. That's wrong. I let you know when you stop being part of nature. With age 13 or 10 or 5 or when you stop being part of nature. And what does man-made mean anyway? Everything comes from the Earth. The body, the atoms, the electrons, the minerals. That means everything in it. So what does man-made mean? We're born from Earth. Earth gave birth. So where does your man fit in it? And where is there a you that fits in it? Because the moment you are born, you're into an environment. And that environment, you're reacting to that environment 24/7. The environment you are what? All food, air. And everyone here is here to get, and it's an environmental system, if you want to call it, something like that, that happens. So this is a whole machine working back and forth. So if you piss me off, you piss me off, blah, 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 and I go and hold that, and I go talk to someone else, and they get pissed off. This is this whole reactions back and forth, boom, boom, boom. That's what you can call karma, if you believe in karma or you want to believe in it. Yet when you go beyond the acting automatically, then you realize that life is not the way you thought it was. There's no need, all this reacting and all this figuring and searching, and we're searching all lives for ourselves. When we actually already are ourselves, we actually already are ourselves, so why are we going to search for ourselves? Okay? A thought can never know anything. It's going to continue to search forever because it will never come to a conclusion because it doesn't know anything. So a thought can never find out the truth because the truth is beyond a thought, and your being is so massive that if that one thought can never explain you, then a thousand thoughts can never explain you. So why even bother? Because when you stop thinking, life tells you what it is. Just whatever this is tells you what it is. Everything tells you what it is constantly, not once. It just continues through. And it's so amazing, so beautiful, and so uplifting that you can move from one day to the next, 1 hour to the next, 1 year to the next, and not have to think about anything anymore. You don't have to strategize where you tomorrow, next day, this, that. It's taken care of for you. In fact, you no longer need to go out into the world to do things wrong. It's that it comes to you. So it appears as though reality is coming to me rather than me going out there. It's sort of the flow has switched. Me going placing in the set to need to be present, and then physical atoms and molecules wrapping around this awareness or around happening within this awareness that events just come to you, and you don't need to strategize anymore because it's already taken care of. The universe has already taken care of all the details. I just need to go with the flip, and I'll meet someone the next day, I'll get a phone call, this, that. It's all perfectly done. Exactly done. It's like life is living itself for me. And literally, your perception shifts in that. A really good experiment to do is to close your eyes, go for a walk in a park, close your eyes, and walk, and don't try to visualize what's happening. But feel what it's like to walk around without visualizing your feet walking or arms moving or anything, and just feel all these sensations as you're walking. It feels like this weird thing down there walking, this weird feeling down there. So, and then after a while, like a minute or so, like notice all these sounds, all these feelings, all these sensations going on. But you, because your eyes are closed, you don't really quite know where it's happening or how it's happening. It's this weird sort of sensation. And then when your eyes are open and you're walking, try to imagine that you're not walking and that even the turn to the legs and arms and sidewalk is coming towards you, just pulling towards you. And that's sort of the sensation. It's like there appears to be a brain walking forward. But at the same time, it appears as though I'm not moving and the atoms, the molecules, reality is bending around at the same time. So it just kind of reverses the flip of reality. So it's just a seamless, effortless sort of existence in this state. We'll have a break for a little bit here. We'll get some tea or juice or water.
All right, guys. amazing, guys. Renee was a teacher early on. Back to the basics, guys. Remember, this season is entitled Back to the Basics, so I'm kind of pulling out. Remember, I told you guys this lecture was from 9 years ago, right? And fast forward, we all know time doesn't exist, blah, blah, blah. But fast forward to 2022, and now this is what's truly happening, you know what I mean? And it's starting to make more and more sense as, you know, the universal energies start to grow, right? So gratitude to Renee Hamilton. I have posted the YouTube link in the show notes, guys. I encourage you to go and listen to go. Matter of fact, I encourage you to type in Renee Hamilton Blog Talk Radio. All right? Type in Renee Hamilton, just as it's spelled, Blog Talk Radio. So That will pull up, I forgot the name of the radio podcast, but it's Blog Talk to him and Beverly. There are a ton of shows where he goes into fluctuation of what he means and breaking all of this down. But if you don't do your own research, you guys, you will be at the back of the class. Now, it doesn't mean we are in the front of the class just because we got more money or just, you know, soul wealth. All right, soul wealth is what's going to be important here, okay? Not any of this mundane shit that we do. Can't take it with you, right? Note to self. Here's something I wrote, and I'm going to go ahead and close out with this. Please be sure that you are subscribing to Blog Talk Radio so you can get the email updates when I do go live. But I am here every weekend at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, here at the Hanson Awareness Radio. This was Motivational Classroom, show produced by me, Keith and Boyd, or also known as Haruda 7, the Oracle. And note to self, my expectations of how life should go is the root to my very own discipline and or suffering. When I let go of how I want it to be, I in turn free myself from my very own mental prison. And remember, guys, perspective is your key. Till next time. Join me tomorrow, guys. Same time, 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central. And tomorrow is going to be interesting. Why do we yawn? Why do we yawn? What is that energy space when we yawn, right? All right, guys. Till next time.